Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We are in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. Sheila G, on the line tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
God, and my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Praise God. Thank God we made it through another week. And know that there's been some ups and downs, and know that the weather's been hot, and now the weather's getting ready to get cold. We're getting ready to get some snow this weekend. So,
yes.
We thank God that weather is always changing, but we can continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand, and whatever the storm comes, we'll be able to make it through the storm. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
G, we, again, in the book of Acts, in its 20th chapter, and Paul is finishing up going on his last missionary journey, where he went through all of the area of Asia Minor and all of those areas where we call modern-day Turkey, in that area in the Middle East, where he was preaching and teaching the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles, and he was preparing to go back to Rome, because Paul was a Roman, as well as a Jew, was a Roman citizen, to present his case for his preaching and teaching. And he was on his way to Jerusalem along with his disciples to observe the Pentecost. And as he was going, he was getting all the disciples that he had preached to together, and it was letting them know that this is going to be his last round around to the churches that he had helped establish, and that he was going to Rome and going to Jerusalem and then to Rome. And he said that he probably won't see them again, because he understood by the Spirit that ministry was coming to an end and he would be martyred. after house arrest in Rome. And so he's gathering them together and he's letting them know, hey, you know, I set example before you. And I want you to know that, you know, set the example for you all to set example for those that are coming behind you. And that was our question on last week, was the importance of setting a good example. And a lot of the callers, particularly young men, they really had some great comments about the importance of setting an example. And so in our daily lives, we just need to be mindful of the people that are around us and people that are coming up, that we continue to set these examples. So let's get into this conversation that Paul was having with them. So if we go to Acts, the 20th chapter, verse 17, he says, and I'm reading the King James right now, it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And again, we say from the beginning that it's important for us to be in one place on one accord. And we saw in verses 1 through 16 that they were in one place on one accord. It was time for them to get together. Paul did not go to Ephesus because he knew he had some folk there that he would chew the fat with and talk a little too much for. So he went on foot and they went on in a sailboat. But the importance of being on one accord, the elders being on one accord, carrying out the work of the ministry, and understand there's a time of play and there's a time for work. And so in this verse 17, he's calling the elders of the church and says it's time to perform ministry. And I think sometimes, Sheila G., we don't leadership and those that are supposed to be in leadership, all of them don't see the big picture. And I think if we would spend some time getting together as leadership, leaders in ministry, to understand the big picture, and the big picture is to serve in leadership to carry out the will, the purpose of God, and to do it in a way that magnifies and glorifies Him. And I think if we all would get on one accord and understand the big picture, that we would be able to get to our destination and get to where we need to go a lot smoother if we understood the big picture. But I think a lot of times, and I'm sure you, since you work in corporate America and you and Dr. G work in corporate America, and when the big wigs and the leaders everybody's not pulling or understand the big picture, what happens is it creates chaos, and then everybody each level down to the people, the workers that actually carry it out, it becomes a struggle. And I know with you as a consultant, Sheila G, you oftentimes say that the people that are actually carrying out the work understand and can do it better than the folk up in upper management, but it's trying to get upper management to see what's going on the middle and the lower level management so that you can give them the tools to be successful. But they're not seeing the big picture, and so it creates a problem. So here Paul is getting his elders together of the church so that they can see the big picture, and that is to carry out the will of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's very true, and it's really important in the church. And I've seen this over the years, even with pastors and with you and Pastor G, that in order to understand that big picture, one thing that's important that you said is that whatever we do, we have to do to the glory of God. And that God puts a shepherd in that house, and God gives the shepherd, the head, the pastor, the vision. And then the vision, it communicates it to, like, the elders, the deacons, the officers of the church. Where you run into a problem, and this is where I've seen it, and where sometimes I had to actually say to the deacons or the elders of the church that God gives it to the pastor gives it to the people. If you go off on your own and think about this is how I feel, then you're not going to see the big picture. That's why we have to pray to the Lord and say, God, lead, God, direct my path, because whatever we do in this church, in the service to the Lord, has to be to the glory of God and not to the glory of me. And I think what happens a lot of times with our elders or the officers of the church, because it doesn't, God doesn't always make sense, but God will give that vision to the pastor when he passes it down to the officers to pass it down to the congregation. Everybody wants to put their own interpretation on it. Whereas if you look at it from your spiritual eye and not from your human eye, then everybody can get in line and God can get the glory. It's not so much the pastor or the elders, about not about us, but it's about what God wants for the church.
Amen, amen. Very important. Dr. G, you want to help us out with that?
Yeah, and I think Silver hit it on the head. A lot of times God does not make sense when he gives us something. And it can be totally out of reach or whatever, and it's something that we have to move on by faith. And too often when we pass it on to the officers because they can't see it in the same sense that we can, that's when you got a lot of pushback. And then that spreads to the congregation. And then you got a divided congregation, those that believe in what the pastor says and those that want to follow what the officer says. But what everyone has to understand, God does not make sense all the time in what he does or what he says. And really, he doesn't have to. And if we accept him, then we have to take it by faith, go with it whether we like it or not. You know, God is not asking us to like what he gives us, but
that's
to
right.
do it. And so we are to take it, may not be able to see the big picture, but you take it by faith and you go with it.
Amen, amen. That's powerful. What we were talking about on last week was that leading by example. So Paul, he's going his last missionary, ended his last missionary journey. He's letting them know, like you were saying, Dr. G, that sometimes it doesn't make sense, but if the leaders are following the Holy Spirit and you've seen them consistently follow the Holy Spirit, then, you know, you see the leader operating by faith, then sometimes you have to say, okay, this is what the picture is, and this is how we're going to walk by faith. And you see it's necessary for Paul to explain to those elders and disciples, look, you know, I've lived this life before you. You know, say what you will, say what you want. But if you go back and look over these last 3-4 years, I've been consistently teaching you the word of God, consistently leading you by the Holy Spirit. And so this is what I've been doing. So basically he's making an apologetic for his ministry and getting them to understand this is how I've led. So all of this stuff, because you're always going to have the folk, I call it the committee to get rid of the pastor.
Yep.
You're always going to have this committee. It's a standing committee to get rid of the pastor or buck leadership. And so you always had a committee, but so Paul is appealing to the elders, look at my track record. And that's all we have. And, you know, at the end of the day, the life that we lead will speak for us. And so if you've done well, you know, your life will speak well. And so basically Paul, as he's coming to the end of his ministry, is he saying, look at my example. This is what I've led before. And even with that, there's going to be some folk that's going to create some stink. They're going to try to lead you astray. There's going to be some folk that say that leadership is not this, leadership is not that. But Paul is saying, just look at the record. You can see the big picture of me following Christ. And the bottom line is that you follow me as I follow Christ. And that's all you can ask. And God will lead you by the Holy Spirit, and God will give you what you need, and you will lead by example, and you will tell people, follow me as I follow Christ, not
right.
just the pastor, but the elders and the congregation. And,
right.
and what you end up doing is over a period of time, your body of work, your body of ministry, and I use the sports analogy, a person that's had a 15-20 year career in baseball. You know, their body of work is what shows. And you can look back and say, well, there's some years where he wasn't as fast as this. There's some years he didn't hit 400 or he didn't hit 300. There's some years where you know, he might have had more errors than plays. And so over the years, you say, look at my body of work. Look at my consistency. Look at my setting example. Look at me and see how the Holy Spirit has guided me. And with that body of work, with that consistency, you'll see that we are going to carry out God, and we are encouraging each other to carry out the work of God and realize that there's nobody perfect and there's nobody that doesn't make any mistakes, nobody that's always on point. But if you consistently seek the word of God, you consistently seek the face of God, you consistently follow the Holy Spirit, what happens is that allows us to stay on one accord and allows us to be able to move forward, carrying out what God has given us to do. But you have to set the example, and you have to let people say, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. And as we do that, we can find ourselves being successful against the attacks of the enemy, the attacks of the Antichrist on the body of Christ or the church. Sheila G.
Amen. And the consistency is the key. I remember when our dad at New Hope at his church, he was head of superintendent of the Sunday school, as well as a chairman of the deacon board. And one of the things that he required of all his officers was, like you said, I don't expect you to be perfect, but we can't lead the congregation if we're not consistent in our attendance to Sunday school, consistent in our attendance to church, and committed. So, you know, we're following the path as he follows Christ. If he stumbles, we can pray. The Holy Spirit will convict him and make him walk on the straight now or let us know. But if we as the head are not consistent in our commitment, meaning that we don't have to be perfect, we can't expect the congregation to do the same, and the church won't grow that way.
Amen, amen. So let's go to Acts 20, verse 17, read down, and here I call it Paul's apologetic of saying, hey, you know, I'm coming to the end of my road, but this is what I did. So let's start at Acts 20, verse 17. He says, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. In verse 18, he says, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons. So in other words, Paul was saying, my walk is not just a fair weather walk. And I find too many times, Dr. G, that some of these preachers, Lord have mercy, they're fair weather friends, and some people in the elders are fair weather, as long as things are smooth and going well. You know, they with you, but when it gets a little rough, it gets a little rocky, get a little rain, get a little hot, they're not consistent, or their faith wanes. But Paul says, I've been with you at all seasons in that verse 18. In other words, spring, winter, summer, fall, and we've been through it all, you know, rainy days, stormy days, you know, hot weather. And good weather. He said, I've been with you at all seasons. And so you have to be a leader that doesn't fall apart when conflict arises, when trouble arises. You know, and Paul was taken into prison, and Paul was beaten, and Paul was misused and abused. And, you know, he's gone through all kinds of things. And so he's telling them, you know, I just haven't been here on the sunny, bright, you know, 70 degrees low humidity days, but I've been in the trenches with you. And when you have a leader that is in the trenches with you, that inspires and that allows the congregation to draw closer to Christ and say, hey, if our leaders are in the trenches and they're standing up in the midst of trials, I know the last 2 years in the midst of a pandemic, you know, there's been leaders that have waned, but there's been leaders that have stayed the course, that have preach to, whether it's in the church or on Zoom or on internet, and you know, they've been consistent. And that type of leadership of being in the trenches is inspiring to those that are walking and looking at leadership and saying, hey, if they can do it, we can do it too. It reminds me of the conflict in Europe where you have a leader of the Ukrainians, and he didn't flee the country. He's there, you know, getting shelled and bombed and life threatened with the rest of his fellow Ukrainians, and it's setting an example of how to stand up in spite of all the odds against an enemy that's trying to take you out. And you know, we contrast that with the life of Paul. You contrast that with the life of Jesus and the things that they had to go through. Ministry gets rough sometimes. It gets a little rough and tumble. You have challenges. You have ups and downs. You have times where you're crying, times where your heart's aching. You have times where your feelings are hurt. But then you also have times where, you know, that you feel the Spirit and the joy of the Lord, and that's your strength. And so you lead your congregation and the elders and the people of the church to draw on those things. I know, Sheila G, you say, draw on your past victories. Draw on those things that in the midst of these tests that you can show strength through the power of the Holy Spirit. And when people see that over a period of time, that's when you have your faithful few. That's when you have your foundation, your core of people in ministry that say, hey, we're not going to let a little rain throw us off track. And so this is where Paul is saying, you know, I have been with you at all seasons. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's what the key to being led within the church by the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only thing that will sustain you. Because otherwise you'll get it. If you start taking things personally because people are with you one season or one minute, but as soon as things get rough, then all of a sudden you're standing alone. If you don't know that you're not alone because you're doing what Christ says, and even if, you know, one of my phrases when New Birth went through its various changes where God would remove certain people and bring other people back was one monkey don't stop, no show. So it was like, okay, I can't go based off how I feel, and Pastor can't go based off how he feels. If it's nothing but two or three, it's the two or three that God wants to be there. And in leadership, that's what you do. You don't focus so much on how you feel or how people make you feel or not feel. It's you feel it, but you trust. You put your trust and your faith in God and move forward. And if you do that, then down the road, you'll see, oh, this is why God was doing this way, because there's certain people or certain attitudes or certain things that were going on in the church that God couldn't move the church forward until those things were removed. And it can be hurtful sometimes. Like you said, you can cry, you can throw your hands up, you can say, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. But if you're truly faithful to God, he will tug your heart, and he'll say, okay, if you trust me, I'll bring you through this. I'll bring you to it. I'll bring you through it.
Amen. Dr. G, you want to add to that?
Yeah. And you know, I think what you and Sheila were saying in the beginning, because Paul had set the perfect example, he wasn't just a talker. He led by example. His life led by it. I mean, because when you go back and you think about Paul, even when he was persecuting Christians, he was consistent. And then when the Lord called him and changed his heart and mind, he became a forerunner for the Lord. He did what the Lord wanted. And just like Paul and like you said with Jesus, you know, we too are going to be tried. We're going to be tested. There have been pastoring black folk is not easy because people are wishy-washy. They're with you one minute, but then the next minute, you know, they somewhere else, off in left field. Or you got this one over here doing this, and they want to continue to do it. You tell them what the word says, but they think. And because they're wishy-washy, you know, we have to stay the course. And, you know, none of us ask for the trials, the tribulations, all the things that we go through, but God allows them to help make us stronger. And as we go through them, you know, if we stay the course, if we consistently preach the word and teach it and do what we're doing, we're going to draw the people that the Lord wants to be drawn.
Amen. Amen. Well said. We'll go over to the NIV and read that verse 18. It says, Acts 20, verse 18, it says, when they arrived, when the elders came from Ephesus, when they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. And he goes on in verse 19, he said, I served the Lord with great humility, with tears, and in the midst of severe testing with my Jewish opponents. And so this is, I tell people, ministry is not for the faint of heart. It is. You need to make sure you called,
mm-hmm.
and you just didn't win.
Yep.
Many are called, if you were chosen, you got to make sure you call, because the very people that you're ministering to, the very people that you're trying to help, are the ones that are gonna come against you. So check
right.
that out. That is. You have to be in ministry long enough to really understand that. A lot of times people really don't understand it, but Paul is letting them know. He's saying, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. In other words, the people that we're trying to save, the people that we're trying to minister to, you have severe testing. You have severe plots. You have things that are in the King James, it said lying in wait of the Jews. In other words, there are many challenges in ministry. And so you can't sugarcoat it to understand that as you are trying to preach the gospel, you're trying to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, that there is an enemy. There's an opponent to the good news. There's an opponent to the grace of God, and so you have to go into this thing seeing the big picture, eyes wide open, that if Jesus suffered, if Jesus went through, if Jesus had to deal with these things, ain't nowhere in the world, can I use the word ain't, ain't nowhere in the world we going to escape without having to have some difficult times.
Right.
Sheila G.
Amen. It's like, it's not for the faint-hearted, and that's with all of us, and that is where your faith has to come in, because this world is evil. You know, we see it in Ukraine, and you just got to have the faith and trust in God that even till death, if you have your faith in God, you can be in an unhappy situation but still have the joy of the Lord and still have strength and peace, because the peace comes from God, not the things of this world. And as long as we're in this world, there's going to be trouble. But it's how you deal with that trouble. It's how, whether are you going to put your faith in yourself to mess it up more? Are you going to put your faith in God? And if you put your faith in God, you can't one day give God the glory and praise him when things are going good, and then when things go bad, then you try to fix it yourself or you're mad at the Lord, and vice versa. There's some people that when things go bad, that's the only time that they call on the Lord, but then as soon as it gets good, they're giving glory to themselves, and then all of a sudden you don't see it anymore. There are some that will only come to church when things are going bad, but then as soon as things start getting good, they're back on their feet, they go out. And just the opposite. There are some that are, if things are good, but then if things start going bad, they're mad at the Lord. So they're not. And it's all about what Paul is saying, is being consistent. Whether you're up, whether I'm down. Sometimes up, sometimes down.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something about the name of Jesus that you just continue on. That is the only way you're going to make it in this life. Because if you try to do it based off your situation or how you feel or based off your emotions, you will be a wishy-washy Christian and you will miss out on your victory.
Amen, amen. And one of the things with what you're saying is what Dad used to always say, and it's something that my kids and my wife had picked up from Dad about being humble.
Yeah.
You know, and that humility, that bringing you down to size, that you ain't all that,
yep.
You ain't all big and bad, but at the same time realizing that you're not as bad as what they say.
Right.
You know, it's this old saying is don't believe everything that bad that they say, and don't believe everything good that they say. And mm-hmm. and when Paul says humility, great, in the NIV says great humility. In the King James, he says serving the Lord with all humility of mind. And when you have that humility, and sometimes, Dr. G, I found out that the Lord had to humble you and get you to realize, hey, you're running a little ahead of me. I need to humble you and need to slow your roll a little bit and realize that you can't do this thing in your power, but you got to do it in my power. And God has a way of humbling us. And, you know, you have that great verse of Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And Solomon didn't ask for wisdom. He didn't ask for power and great riches, but he asked for, I'm sorry, he didn't ask for great power. He didn't ask for riches, but he asked for wisdom. And he said that if people got off track, he said, if my people, he asked God, if your people who are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from their wicked ways, he asked God, he said, God, you know, then hear from heaven, forgive us of our sins and heal our land. And so God, you know, repeated his prayer back to him. He said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven, forgive them their sins, and heal their land. And so this whole humility thing, it is a characteristic of Christ. That is the body of the humility characteristic. You know, the Bible talks about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery, being in, you know, the person of God, that he would humble himself even to the death on the cross. And so humility of leadership, not getting too puffed up, not getting too ahead of themselves, is key. And Paul is teaching them that said, hey, I've gone through some difficult times. I've learned some lessons. I've taught some lessons. But the key is to remain humble. And that's what Dad used to say. He was like, you know, every prayer, he was like, let us humble ourselves. And that was one of the great things in raising our kids, is that, you know, what a granddad said, what a granddaddy said, what a daddy said. He said in these difficult times that we need to humble ourselves before the Lord and seek his faith, and that God would give us the direction, God would lead us, and God will sustain us. And we've watched God, you know, sustain us. God provides for us. God bring us through difficult times. God, you know, give us times of joy with family and love and church fellowship and love for each other. But it's a thing of humbling yourselves and realizing that we have to understand that we need God and we have to rely on God. Sheila Jean.
Amen. And that's what, you know, even with prayer, he would say, let us humble ourselves and go before the Lord.
Yeah.
And then he would say, consecrate me now, O Lord, meaning make me holy. And we can't ask God to make us holy if we're full of ourselves. So we have to humble ourselves. Then God can consecrate us to make us holy, being set apart, being an ambassador for Christ, and not going based off of our own strength, but off of God's strength.
Amen. Help us out here, Dr. G.
Well, I think both of you really hit it on, and that was one of the things that I used to love about your dad. It didn't matter what rank he was in the military, what position he held in the church. He carried himself in a humble manner, and he treated people with love and respect. And that was one of the reasons, I think, why, you know, the kids and grandkids would always flock to him. And it's so true. You know, we live in the midst of a world right now where you got leaders that are all puffed up. I mean, when you look at Russia's leader, when you look at our former president, you know, you look at some of these congressmen and these senators, they got these titles, and they think they all that and then some, but they're really not doing anything to help anybody. And until we get back to, just like the word says, and we humble ourselves, you know, because too often, and I've seen it within the church, a lot of the pastors and these bishops, I just can't get with that. I call it the bishop club, because once they get that title, they think they are a potentate and people are supposed to bow down to them. And it's something about being called the bishop. Not all of them do it, but, you know, they get it in their mind that they're so much above everybody else. And really, when we pass on to the other side, whether these titles, it's not going to mean a thing. It's going to be depending on what we've done, if we've done the will of the Lord, what kind of life have we lived as preachers, have we done all that he wanted us to do. He's not going to be concerned about whether we're bishops, reverend, doctor, whatever. And until we understand that, and that's the example that Paul presented to the people. He was humble, and he stayed humble, and he was consistent with that humility.
Amen, amen. That's powerful. That's powerful. Wow. You know, it's right here, you know, and you look at verse 20, and I'm going to go back to Acts 20, verse 20. And I'm reading the NIV, and it says, "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught publicly and from house to house." In verse 21, he said, "I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ." And I'll read verses 20 through 21 in King James, the same verse, he says, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greek, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." This is so powerful that Paul can, again, reflect back and say, look at my record. I followed what I was supposed to do. I looked out for you. I've had your interest at heart. You know, in that NIV, he says, he have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. And he did all this thing so it would be profitable to them, that it would be edifying to them. And this is the type of leaders in that verse 20 in the King James, is profitable unto you, building you up, teaching you, doing things to help you. And so when you look at people that have humbled themselves to the point where their interest is to serve God by helping people from house to house or wherever they may be, those are the type of the people that we should be looking at setting an example and setting ourselves up to try to set an example. But look at that consistency in what he's done. And so when you see people have a track record of helping, teaching, and preaching on a regular basis, pray for those people, encourage those people, support those people, those leaders, that they would continue to do that, because the enemy is real and would try to take them away from you or distract them so it won't be profitable for you. And so pray for your leaders, support your leaders, encourage them, because they're working to do the will of God on your behalf. And I think sometimes in churches, people don't support or pray for their leaders because they don't understand the tactic of the enemy that says that they're not this, they're not that. But if you pray and you support the leadership where they can follow the word of God and follow Christ, and you can follow them as they follow Christ, what happens is that type of leadership becomes profitable to you and to ministry. Sheila G.
And it goes back to the humility. You know, we've seen in churches that sometimes they glorify the pastor, so they see the preacher as the head of the church, not recognizing that he's a servant of the Lord as well. So they want to, and I've seen this, almost exploit their position or exploit the pastor, get close to the pastor so that they can feel like they're closer to heaven, but they're or closer to the glory. So it's like, look at me, I'm close to the pastor and you're not. So it becomes this little competition. We were actually talking about that in Sunday school when he wrote the letter to Corinth about the divisions in the church, that people don't recognize that we are all servants. We're not here to glorify each other, but to glorify God. And sometimes that's where God's mission for the church gets lost, because everybody's fighting to have a position and to be seen and heard, not to glorify God. And so, as you said, because that humility is not there, then it doesn't get passed down and to draw others. I think about our parents and our aunts and our uncles and our grandparents. When I'm reading this, those are things that they told us. I've lived right before you. I've shown you how to do it. I haven't been perfect, but what I've put in you, I want you to put into your children and your children's children, knowing that you put God first, then you draw others. And you know, our aunts, our uncles, our parents were always reaching out to young people, bringing them into the house to help minister and help guide them in the right way. But if we're trying to be impressive and want people to look at me and look at me and look what I've done, we can't pass God's word on.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, I agree with what Sheila was saying. And, I hate to say it, but our children, especially this generation coming up, they seem to have lost all of the teaching, you know, that parents like yours, like my parents, grandparents, I mean, you know, they went through something and they learned how to stay humble. They appreciated things more. But with this generation now, things, I mean, granted, I know, you know, the parents try to make life better for them, but they take that and run with it so that they begin to think that's the way life is supposed to be. And then when they can't get it, then they got their lips poked out, they're mad, they're walking around with, you know, stuff in their jaw. But, you know, somewhere along the line, you've got to come to grips with this thing as an individual, because nobody's going to give you anything. You've got to work for it. And the better relationship that you have with the Lord, the better you will stay grounded and down to earth. You know, that's why, you know, I thank God that I never really wanted to be a CEO or any of that. Look, Lord, just let me be a servant. You know, I'm glad to be where I am. And I've tried to set the same type of example, especially for new birth, you know, for the people coming after me. You know, it's not about the position. I tell them all the time, look, I may be the pastor, but I'm just like you. I mean, and there's no job within the church that is above me. I vacuum the church. I dump trash. I'll do whatever I have to if it's going to help the church. And people have gotten away from that. You know, our mindset is so much above that. Now that we've made some money and we think that we have arrived, no, I shouldn't have to dump trash. It don't work like that.
Amen. Amen. And again, that's the humility. And,
right.
And if we take account of what the leaders are doing with humility, they're making progress and they're edifying and building up people. You know, it's not the fancy show. It's not the fancy, you know, look at me, look at me. But it's the work you can do by being humble and following Christ. And
right.
Paul is saying, hey, you know, this is what I've done. Look at my record. He said, you know, I served the Lord with great humility, tears in the midst of testing and plots by the Jews. And I have not hesitated to preach anything that will be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, when he's saying this, he's saying, I wasn't just a showboat out front, you know.
Right.
I wasn't just humble out front, but you knew me out front and you knew me behind in house to house. So in other words, out in public, I was the same, and in behind closed doors, I was the same. And you've seen leaders, you've seen people that act one way when they out in public, and then act another way when they're behind doors. And we call that perpetrating a fraud. You one way, you know, when you're out in public, and then behind the scene, you cut the tail and acting a fool. In other words, you acting holier than thou when you're in the congregation or you're in front of people. But after you leave church, you know, you somebody that we don't recognize. So Paul is saying, hey, you know, whether it was public or private, you know, I was humble and I did what thus said the Lord. Sheila Jean.
Amen, amen. And that's what I was talking about, people jockeying for position, where that's where you find sometimes in the church you have the quote-unquote favoritism, that if this person is going to do me this favor or come here with them, or if I know the church, when we first got to New Birth, there were these quote-unquote rules that if somebody was this close to the pastor or a family member of the pastor, they got to do something. But if you weren't a family member of the pastor, or if you didn't have a pew with your name on it, then you didn't get to do something. So then that all of that humility is out the door, because it's about you jockeying for position within the church. Whereas if you humble yourself for God, in front of God, and it doesn't matter if you have your name on a pew, if you have put the most tithes in, or if all you have is a dollar. We're all there on one accord for the same purpose, which is to glorify God and not glorify ourselves.
Amen, amen. Our time has jumped on us real quick again tonight. So we're going to go to our phone lines, and we're just going to ask a question about humility. The humility to live a life, a humble life. Talk about living a humble life, consistently living a humble life, and carrying out the will of God. We're going to go to our first caller, and we're going to go to the last 4 digits, 6309. 6309, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, I understand about humility of living with humility in your life, because you need humility, because it's going to stop you. It's going to set you down. It's going to help you see things better, number one. It's going to help you understand things better, you know, and you got to have it, but you got to get out the way to get it. You know, you can't be up in the forefront thinking you this, that, and the other, you know.
Yep.
Because you have to humble yourself. That means just go somewhere and sit down and listen and think and, you know, try to make something better right here and now, you know. Think about others. When you humble yourself, you can think better and you can understand things much, much better, you know. You can sit back and you can look and you know what's going on and you know which way to go. You know, but you got to have that humility, because if you don't, you're going to still think you a bag of them 99-cent chips. So, you know, you're going to thank you all of that. You're going to thank you all of that, you know.
Amen.
And that's not going to be good for anyone, especially you, number one, because the Lord done told you what to do in Second Chronicles. You got to pray, humble yourself, seek my face, turn away from the dirty, wicked ways.
All right,
I'll think about coming to see about you, okay? So,
All right.
It is. And if you want to be humble and you want to live humbly, you can. But it starts with us inside. It starts with us first. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to our next call. I have 4 digits, 1741. 1741, good evening.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Humility is definitely required, and once you humble yourself, then God can use you, and you simply just render over your will, your way unto the Lord, and let him have his will and his way. And sometimes you might not understand it, and but God knows, because he's in control. And so when you walk by faith and you trust him, then you're going to ask him to help you to do what you need to do for his glory. And so we have to constantly ask God to keep us humble and meek, because it's something about man. We like the praises. We like the power. And so we got to just ask God to help me. You know, it's real quick to get the big head. And so we got to ask God to keep me humble at heart so that you can use me and help me grow spiritually and give me what I need so that I can help somebody else. And I always said that God didn't give every person, one person, everything. I do believe when you truly trust God and you come to him and let him have his way and his will in your life, God has a purpose. He has a will, has a use for everybody. And he has something that everybody can do for him and for his glory. No one person has it all. And so when we learn that we are a body working for Christ and not an individual seeking our own glory, then the Lord can use us better and we can be a better service to one another. So it's a growing in grace process, and we grow in it every day. Every day we ask the Lord, help me, because I need you. Holy Spirit, get me out the way, and you come and get in the way. And it's very quickly sometimes to jump in front of the Holy Spirit. But when we find out that we're getting in front of the Holy Spirit, we have to ask him to help us, humble us, get me out the way so that you can do what you need to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to our next call. Last 4 digits, 87660. Good evening. Let's go on the next caller. Last 4 digits, 3343. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening to you, man. I'm just like Pastor Gregory. I've been around the clock all my life, and I always try to be the man to carry itself, to be humility to everybody. And the generation we got today, oh, I can't even explain to how it is, but the fact is that we all try to teach our children, and some goes right and some goes wrong, and we try to do it, I just try to do it as much as I possibly could, and I've gotten this far, and the Lord has let me be this far, so therefore I must be doing something right, and it's too much to keep a bad mind and not treat everybody the right way. That's all I can say. It's just, I just try my best to do the best I can. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comments tonight. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 0072. 0072. Good evening. All right. Let's see. We go to our next caller. Last 4 digits 0266. 0266. Good evening. All right, let me go to our next call. 4 digits 1712. 1712. Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, humility is it's a beautiful thing. I learned about it years ago, and for me, you know, speaking personally, humility has helped me reflect on where I was, who I used to be, and how far I've come. You know, I think as we progress through different aspects of our lives, specifically speaking in a spiritual manner, it's easy to get big-headed. It's easy to forget where you came from. It's easy to forget, like, the very people that you look down on or talk about. You used to be in those very same shoes, but, you know, I think somebody said it, but, you know, as you become humble and you appreciate the blessings that you've had and you've appreciated the journey and how far you've come, God can now begin to use you. Because I think in the society and the world we live in now, everybody's so focused on being important, being the center of attention, you know, having all the focus and everything be on them, but instead saying, hey, if I have this humble spirit, now I should be focused on what difference I can make in people's lives. How can I impact people in a positive way? And what we have to realize is if you do things with an honest, open, humble spirit, all of the blessings and all of the recognition and everything, it'll come with that. But I think sometimes we try to make it about us on the forefront, not realizing that you will get the accolades, you will get the glory, honor, and praise in due time, but you got to keep a humble spirit and realize that no matter how far you go, you still got work to do. But I think we realize, or some of us Christians fall short in the fact that we realize once we've achieved it, the journey stops. We're at the top of the mountain and we've conquered all and we're so great or whatever. But it's like, no, now the journey truly begins. You have to keep a humble spirit just as you did on your journey. Now you got to put twice as much energy in and to maintain where you are or even to progress even further. But, you know, so many of us lose sight of it. And I've fallen by the wayside so many times. You know, we accomplish things. Then you start to think it's you, and then you start to forget, like, yo, I prayed to God night in and night out, day in and day out to get here. But then when we get there, all of a sudden we lose sight of all that we've done, all that we've had to go through. Look, the people in our corner, the people that prayed for us, the people that we were calling. And then when we achieve these things, we think it was us all along. We think we just showed up and did it and snapped our fingers and it was done. But, you know, being humble for me always reminds me of the journey, always remind me of, like, hey, there's still more that can be done. There's still room to grow, and there's still people that you can inspire and touch along the way. But, you know, us as Christians, especially living in this world, it's something that we have to hold on to. You know, sometimes even me, I'm human. Sometimes that spirit will creep in there, but I immediately shut it down. I immediately do what I need to do to get that out of there and to remain humble, because others are watching. Nobody wants to see a bunch of big-headed Christians out here, you know, thinking that they're full of themselves and looking down on people. If our sole mission is to be fishermen of men, we talked about that a couple of Sundays ago, that I'm supposed to wheel you in and try to bring you closer to God and tell you about the goodness of Jesus. But if I'm out here looking down on you and talking about you, knowing I was in your shoes a few weeks ago, a few months ago, a few years ago, then that gets us further from our goal, and it further accomplishes the goal of Satan. And that's not what we want. So being humble is very important, but we got to work on it. I work on that every day, every month, because God has blessed me. But in those blessings, I say, hey, don't ever get too high, but definitely don't get too low. You got to try to stay right in that, find that middle ground. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, hey, God's blessing me is good, but look, there's still work to be done. Look, the road continues beyond this point. The mountain has other levels that we got to climb. So remembering to focus on the journey and realize that, hey, you're going to have some accomplishments along the way. We call those milestones, but guess what? The end journey is to get into heaven, and the only way we're going to do that is to be consistent. But most importantly, we got to remain humble throughout the entire process. Don't get big-headed when you just got halfway up the mountain and you think this is it, and you look up like, yeah, I got a little bit more to go, so let me keep this humble spirit. Let me keep this energy. And most importantly, bring people along the way. You know, that's what it's really about, being humbled enough to not think it about yourself, but to realize that you need to be selfless in that act, and all the rewards will come upon you. But do it the right way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony tonight. We can go to our next caller. Last four digits, 9880. 9880. Good evening.
Good evening. It's Jessica. humility is definitely, you know, important, and it's a tool, like, you know, Brandon was saying, that we as Christians have to kind of take along with us just pretty much everywhere we go, because people are always watching, and people that, you know, are praying for your downfall, but people who are also looking up to you to say, like, okay, what do I do, you know, if I want to get into this walk with God and I want to become a Christian as you. And, you know, it's definitely important, you know, just for just yourself as well, you know, doing daily check-ins within yourself and just realizing that, you know, you're in this position not because of what you're doing. Yes, you may be, you know, doing what God wants you to do, but ultimately it's because of God and what he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. You know, he put you in this position. You know, he gave you this job. He gave you this car. He's allowing you to be able to pay, you know, these bills. So I say all that to say, you know, that's where humility comes in play within ourselves, but also for others.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We go to one more caller. Last four digits, 1211. 1211, good evening.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Good
delighted
evening.
To be able to join you. I think that I remember when Jesus saw his disciples arguing about who is going to be the greatest, he rebuked them. And he said, whoever is going to be the greatest among you must be the servant of you all. And the Apostle Paul was such a great ambassador for Christ because he cared more about what he put in to the lives of others than what he got out. And he was willing to work as a tent maker with his hands. And so it was one of those situations where he actually did walk the talk. And it's easy for us to be born on third base and act like we hit a triple. Really, it's all the Lord. And I remember you know, talked about my dad, Deacon Kayson. He said, if you're standing on the Atlantic shore and your neighbor broad jumps 5 feet into the water and you go twice as far as him, 10 feet, y'all are still both 3,000 miles from Europe. And ain't gonna get there unless the Lord supernaturally gets you there.
Amen.
God bless y'all. God bless y'all.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. Georgina's going to do it for us tonight. It's your final comment and closes out in prayer, please.
Yes, the final comment is that in order for us to hear from God and to do God's mission, we have to follow that example of being consistent in our walk with Christ and being humble. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you once again for another opportunity to study and expound on your word. Lord, I pray, Father, that we will take what we've learned tonight and apply it to our lives so that we can remain humble and draw others to Christ. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. That's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.